Well, it's good to see we have quite a few back, those who had COVID, those who thought maybe they might have COVID. We've got a lot back. The singing was lovely. How wonderful to praise God this morning with you all. I'm so glad that you're here. This morning we're going to be talking about a topic that people might struggle with one way or the other. That is self-esteem. And you know, you might have a little too much, you might not have enough. When I was growing up in school, I guess the predominant theory was that a lot of kids just really weren't performing very well in school because they didn't have enough self-esteem. They didn't believe that they could. So we got a lot of sunshine pumping, a lot of telling people about how great they were. And I seem to remember there was a study a while back that they tested that again, and they found that actually people had more self-esteem than they knew what to do with, probably as a result of telling people how great they were. And there was the age, you know, of participation trophies and all that. And maybe, you know, there's an ugly side of that that becomes a sense of entitlement, a narcissism, a self-worth that is beyond what we ought to think of ourselves. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt each a measure of faith." And so what we see is there's kind of two sides of this self-esteem, right? There's a side that, yeah, I've said it, I put it this way here before, I think, Eeyore syndrome. You don't want to think, oh, well, I'm so lowly and lousy that I just can't do anything. But you certainly don't want to go too far in the other direction and think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. And so I want to explore trying to find a balance of self-perception, how we ought to look at ourselves. What is a Christian supposed to do when it comes to self-esteem? How much should we have? And, you know, it is interesting. This passage here doesn't say, you know, that you have to think that you're just scum and you're terrible and can't do anything. But there is a certain point, a certain threshold when you might be thinking too highly of yourself. And so we need to exercise sober judgment. So I think that begs the question, how highly of ourselves ought we to think? How should we think about ourselves? How highly should we think of ourselves? And I think what we'll discover through this is really the less we think about ourselves, probably the better. So how can we get a measure of a balanced self-perspective? You know, that's an interesting thought. I heard someone once pose the question, am I more what somebody else thinks of me, or am I what I perceive myself to be? And maybe a little both, but really I'm more concerned what God thinks of me. And having an accurate self-image really is going to come down to, I think, our self-worth and how much pride we have. We don't want to get into the territory of narcissism and thinking about ourselves too much, becoming selfish. So how ought we to think of ourselves? Hopefully not very much, or at least not too much. And Philippians chapter 2, we have a mindset that's Christ's mindset. This is the mindset Christ had. And, you know, while you turn over there, it's up on the screen. You think about Christ and you think about the mindset that he had. If anybody had the right to think highly of themselves, it was God in the flesh. It was the only man who ever did it all perfectly. If anybody could have thought highly of themselves, it was Christ. But that's not that mindset that he chose to adopt. Christ's mindset in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 is, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." So again, we see Christ, the perfect man, God in the flesh, even though he was God in the flesh, he didn't consider that to be something to be grasped. Your translation may say it a little differently, but the idea here would be, he didn't spend a whole lot of time considering or putting a lot of stock in the fact that, oh, well, I'm God in the flesh, so I'm so great. He didn't spend all of his time thinking about how great he was. He wasn't like the Pharisee who looked down on all those sorry people, right, and prayed, thank you, God, that I'm not like these other people, these sinners. If anybody could have prayed that prayer, could have been Jesus. But even Jesus, who was perfect, didn't pray that prayer. Even he didn't have the mindset that he was just so far above everyone else. Was he? Yeah, but having that mindset is going to kind of make you come off pretty pompous, isn't it? I mean, even if you are great, even if you do have your life together, compared to God, none of us are great. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all need to have some level of humility to us. And I think the answer to that is, rather than focusing on himself, rather than focusing on how great he was, or you could take it the opposite direction. You could beat yourself up all the time and be thinking, man, I'm terrible. I can't do anything right. You see how there's even a little bit of narcissism and pride and selfishness of focus when the focus is on me? When you're thinking about how sorry I am, or when you're thinking about how great you are, either way, who are you thinking about? Me. How did Christ combat the idea that, oh, well, I'm God in the flesh and I'm perfect? He emptied himself. He didn't think about himself much at all. Not that he wasn't great, not that he thought of himself, oh, I'm terrible. Well, he wasn't terrible. He couldn't have thought that about himself. No, instead, he just chose to focus on being a servant. And when he took on that form, he humbled himself. And he became obedient even to death on a cross. A couple verses right before this, in verse 3, here's the point that he was trying to drive at for you and for me. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others as more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also the interest of others. So this begs the question, how much should I think about myself then? Well, to a certain extent, you have to think about yourself a little bit, right? If you never think about yourself at all, you'll forget to eat. You don't take care of yourself. You won't sleep. You won't be healthy. You know, when they say in an event of an airplane crash, first put on your own air mask so that you can then help other people to put theirs on. So yeah, there's a natural sense in which, yeah, when you get hungry, you're going to take care of that. I get grumpy when I'm hungry, so it's pretty important for me to make sure I eat and take care of myself. You know, you'll be sick if you won't, and really, you won't be able to help people as much if you don't take care of yourself. So there is some level of attention that we have to think about ourselves. It's only natural. We're going to be thinking about ourselves, but I don't think most people have a problem with that. Most people probably have the other problem. They think about themselves all the time, even in our prayers. I think I mentioned this before. I appreciate the songs that were sung this morning. The focus was on worshiping God, and that's why we're here this morning. But sometimes church can turn into kind of a, for some folks, what can I get out of it? It's my self-help thing, and church is really all about what do I get out of church? How is it going to help me? Rather than focusing on what we came here to do, and that's worship and glorify God and give Him praise, right? The right mindset when we come here is not, I want it to be pleasing to me, and I want the singing to be exactly perfect, and you know, I want the message to be sharp, and everything needs to be to my liking and the way that I like it. No. Then the focus is on how much did I like worship, not how much did the Lord like my worship. So at a certain point, when you get to thinking about yourself, you're thinking about yourself too much. And that's not to speak of how highly or how lowly you think about yourself. You could go probably too far in either direction. But a healthy balance, a healthy mindset is going to be, yeah, focus on yourself, take care of your needs. And you have spiritual needs, physical needs, emotional needs. But in terms of priorities, we shouldn't be all about ourselves. We shouldn't become selfish, thinking about ourselves to the point where we're thinking about ourselves that we're overly ambitious or conceited. instead count others as more significant than ourselves. If anybody is the perfect example of that, we just saw that. The man, Jesus Christ, who came, and even though he was perfect, he didn't look down on others. He sacrificed himself for you and for me. He cared about others more than he cared about himself, even to his own detriment, he did this. I'm not saying, you know, you let people take advantage of you all the time and just be a doormat. But there is a level of self-sacrifice that is entailed with being a Christian. I think about the mothers who have a hard time paying attention when they're holding the babies, or fathers. The parents who sacrifice so much for their children. There's something Christ-like in that. Yes, it may be harder when your life is all about somebody else to a certain degree, raising this child, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that sometimes you go without. And that's a noble sacrifice that we make because we're focused on others and not ourselves. You may be taking care of an elderly parent. You may have any number of unique circumstances. You may even be single. Well, when you're single, you have a unique circumstance where you don't have to, strictly speaking, pay attention just to your family. You can go out and minister and serve others in ways that, you know, I got to get home from work and get those kids in bed and take care of them. It's a limit on my time. So I don't know which way you may find yourself needing to serve, but the Christ-like mindset is really to not consider yourself first, but to consider yourself last in those quiet moments where we all have during the day that we might need to take care of our own needs, where we spend a time in meditation, reflection. Yeah, you got to take care of yourself. But are we the kind of folks that take care of ourselves first? Or are we the kind of folks that think of others first? Christ was a servant. I think this will go a long way to combating thinking too much of yourself from the standpoint of, I'm literally just spending too much time and too much of my effort. I think only of myself. Now, there's also this mindset that you're arrogant and you think you're better than you really are. Well, we could go through a list of scriptures. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. You know, pride is a sin. We'll address that. But I think we also need to, when we talk about finding balance in a mindset, need to make sure that we don't become too lowly in our thinking of ourselves. I don't know if it's narcissistic or not to be thinking about yourself all the time and just be downing yourself. Some people may be struggling with depression, but I think thinking about yourself in that regard, that you're so lowly all the time, that's going to have some really negative impacts on you. So we don't want to think too lowly of ourselves. I have some passages. Hopefully this will be an encouragement to you, especially if you struggle with self-esteem, struggle with the idea that you're not good enough. I've heard many Christians over the years say they're just not sure they're good enough to make it into heaven. But that's not a healthy mindset. It's not a biblical mindset either. In Psalm 139:13, it says, "For you are formed in my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I'll praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." Deep down in our soul, we know very well that we have a creator. And what a blessing it is just to exist. I think these verses normally come up in the context of preaching on abortion. And it is true, God knew us when we were in the mother's womb. But, you know, there is another application to this, and that is that I praise God. I am thankful for God for my existence. And that I'm not just some horrible, awful mistake. I'm not some scum. It's a wonderful thing that I've been created. And you know, there's something beautiful about human life, about the soul God has given us. And talk so badly or down on ourselves or to think poorly of ourselves is really thinking poorly on God's creation, is really thinking like what God made is just worthless, is no good at all. I don't think that's how God views His creation. God's creation is worthy to be praised. It is a wonderful, marvelous thing. And He said from the beginning in Genesis chapter 1 that we're made in His image, that not only are we wonderfully made, we're made in the image of God. So to say that you're no good at all and there's just nothing good about you, that's just simply not true. We're not made, I don't know if you'd say we're made perfect holy beings, or if you'd say we're neutral, or that we're horrible when we come out. I think, you know, we have choice. We have choices to make. Sometimes when people have made a lot of bad choices, they get down on themselves and they think that there's nothing good about them. But the first thing that I'd say is good about us is that we're made in the image of God. He said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish in the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth. Every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Now that last part should go without saying, that male and female, He created him. But I guess in today's world, might be worth just saying in passing. I know it's off topic, but you know, God did create us male and female, and that's it. But when you think about His creation, I think, you know, woman is beautiful. I'm sure to women, men are a beautiful thing to behold as well, that we are created, and we are created as someone who's over the animals, the vegetation, dominion over the earth. That we're not some lowly creature that's, you know, pond scum, that's just totally worthless. Sometimes I wonder why God created the mosquito. I have to ask Him whenever we get there what the purpose of that is, other than pestering me. We don't really maybe consider too much the ant that we accidentally step on. They're not that magnificent to us, although if you look at them from a microscope, they do some pretty remarkable things. We notice, yeah, nature has value to it, that even the ant provides some form of function. Even the mosquito probably has some sort of function in the circle of life in nature. And so we don't, as humans, we want to be good stewards of the earth. We don't want to destroy the planet. We don't want to just become a agent of chaos that destroys everything in our wake. We have respect for animals. We have love for animals. We don't believe in animal cruelty. Why? Because we recognize that those things have value. Now, let me tell you, you have some value too. You're over the animals. You have more value to God than the animals. We have a soul. We're made specifically in His image and His likeness. And we probably don't spend a whole lot of time thinking about that. But if you're struggling with your sense of self-worth and your sense of value and your self-esteem, realize that inherently there is some value that you have. God created you to have a certain value. And really, I think when we're struggling between this idea of thinking too much of ourselves and not enough of ourselves, where's that middle ground? Where's that balance? Where's that biblical perspective going to be? It's going to be where we find our value. And I think it's right here. Our value is in the fact that we're made in God's image, that our value comes from God. And so, yeah, when we have our shortcomings, that might make us feel ashamed. It might make us feel down on ourselves. But what you have to remember is God values you. God values you enough that He sent His Son to die for you, for your sins. We just read this passage in Bible class this morning. And we emphasize this idea that we are His inheritance in the saints. And it raises the question, for those of you who weren't in that Bible class, you know, what did Christ get for sacrificing himself on the cross. What did he get out of all that? He got you and me. His inheritance is the church. And it describes it as a glorious inheritance. And when you think you have no value, when you see no value in humankind, if you lose faith in humankind, what you're essentially saying is, I'm placing no value in something that Christ put a great deal of value in. Christ sacrificed his only son because that's how much he valued your soul. He was willing to suffer and go through torture because redeeming you was important to him. That means you're important to God. So yeah, you have some value. And when you find your value in God rather than your own sinful self, then you begin to understand that, yes, I have a purpose in life, and yes, I can accomplish things in life, and yes, I'm not just totally worthless and incapable of doing anything correctly. It says in at the end of the chapter, as we read, he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. That we're called to be the fullness of Christ. And yeah, after we're redeemed and once we gain appreciation for what a great sacrifice he gave for us, many people begin to think, well, I could never be the fullness of God. I could never be that good. Let me tell you something. God doesn't give you a command that you can't fulfill. God doesn't ask more of us than what we can accomplish. And yes, we're sinful beings. And yes, while we live here in the flesh, we're not going to be perfect and we're going to struggle. But when the scripture says the church is the fullness of Christ, that means the church has some value in God's eyes. That means the things which you can do for God matter. That means what you do matters. And so if we ever get into this place, if you ever get into the mindset that I just can't do anything right, that's just not true. There are things that you have, talents that you have, ways in which you can serve the church, going back to the passage we read earlier, putting the needs of others first, that's something that you can do. You can find ways to do good. None of us are just thoroughly corrupt, thoroughly evil, and without value. And that's an unbiblical mindset. And when you're thinking so much of that, maybe the answer to that is, well, stop thinking so much about yourself and start thinking, what are the Christ-like things I can do? What are ways that I can serve the body of Christ? What are ways that I can become a part of the body of Christ and uplift and help? When you stub your toe, man, that's going to hurt. And I bet you the hand's going to go down there and you're going to grab it. Woo, that hurts. The body helps each other. And we're not perfect, but we have value. And it's a great value. It's a wonderful thing to be a part of the body of Christ. It's a wonderful thing to be a part of that. And he calls the church glorious. He calls the church a wonderful thing. And so, yes, you, little old you have value. So we can't undersell that. And again, you know, probably the most famous verse in the Bible because of all those football games where they hold up the sign. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God did not send his son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God loved you enough to die for you. He gave you enough. He loved you enough to give his life for yours. So that tells you how much he values your soul, how much he wants you to get right with him, to be right with him. And he wouldn't have gone through all that if it wasn't possible for you to be redeemed, if you were somehow just unredeemable, incapable of returning to the Father, incapable of getting better. You'll never reach perfection no matter how long you try, but that is always the goal, is trying to be more like him. So as Christians, what is our mindset? What is the Christ-like mindset? To adopt the same mindset that Christ had. Empty yourself. Become a servant. Don't think too highly of yourself. Don't think you're just God's gift to man. Then you'll probably stop improving. Also, Don't start thinking so lowly of yourself that you think you can't do anything. That'll probably also keep you from growing. If you don't believe you can, you won't. You'll miss 100% of the shots you never take. So, do you believe this? Do you believe, and I guess this verse has become cliched in our culture, but it's an important verse. Do you believe I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? If you believe that, then you believe that I can accomplish at least enough to be pleasing to God. I can accomplish whatever it is that He's asking me to do, that I can do it. Why? Because all my value is in, because I'm such a great person. I can do all things because I'm really talented and I'm just really good at everything. No, and that's not what the verse means. The verse is there to show us that our strength comes from Christ. Our value comes from Christ. That I'm not the thing that's special about me. The thing that's special about me is that I'm made in the image of God. I reflect His glory, and I can accomplish these things not because I'm so great, but because Christ lives in me. Galatians chapter 2 says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So because of that awesome sacrifice that we've been talking about this morning, we empty ourselves. We kill the old man. We crucify ourselves. We don't think about ourselves all the time, whether I'm really great or not so great. Well, sometimes we're doing pretty good. We're righteous. And sometimes we are not so great. But spending all of our time dwelling on those things instead of pressing forward to the goal, like I preached at the beginning, at the end of last year, our focus, our perspective needs to be a balanced one that says, I've made my mistakes. I'm not going to let that hold me back. And I'm not going to become complacent to the point where I think, you know, hey, I've arrived. I'm Mr. Great Christian. I'm going to pray that prayer of the Pharisee. I thank God I'm not like those sorry people out there. No. I crucify myself and Christ lives in me. And if it's Christ who's living in me, if I'm striving my best to live based on these biblical principles, then I believe what it says, that I can do all things. Why? Because Christ is in me. It's not because I'm great, it's because Christ can accomplish those things in my life, and I believe that, and I believe in His power to do so. So, there's a level of confidence that we can have. Many Christians, I think, struggle with a level of confidence. Our confidence comes from the same place our value comes from. It comes from Christ, not from ourselves. So we can have boldness, courage, confidence, not arrogance, not conceit, not selfish ambition, not thinking about ourselves, but thinking about, oh, I can do good. I can be better. I can do better because Christ is living in me and His Word is living in me. And that's a balanced perspective. So hopefully this lesson will help you as we sort through how can I have a balanced perspective of myself. Really, what we're doing is we're battling selfishness and pride. We see the verse from 1 John chapter 2 up on the screen here, that the three ways in which we're tempted, in which we are caused to sin and stumble, is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but it is of the world. If we think that the world revolves around us and we become self-absorbed, we become conceited, even if it's from a sense of lowliness to where we're constantly thinking about ourselves and about how bad we are and we're drugged down into a depression, many people think, well, pride, that's just arrogance, right? That's because you think you're so great. Well, we all have pride. We all struggle with pride. I don't care if you're struggling with a lack of self-image because you don't think you're very great. If you're still thinking about yourself all the time, then that's pride. Life's not all about you and it's not all about me. There's a lot more going on. There's a lot bigger things going on. But the fact that even though the whole world doesn't revolve around you and me, Christ still died for you, you're still important to Him, that should be enough for us. Should be enough for us to get through the day. Should be enough for us to get through this life, knowing that we have a Savior that loves us, that values us, and our value comes from Him. And if we embody that, if we internalize that and understand that, then maybe we won't struggle so much with self-esteem, and our lives won't be so much about us, but it'll be about bringing glory to God, loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. Those are the greatest commandments. And I think if we have this perspective, the perspective that was in Christ Jesus, we'll be able to accomplish that. I hope this sermon is encouraging for you and makes you feel like, yes, I can obey the gospel. I can be everything that God wants me to be, and motivates you to be better and to do better and to press towards that high calling to be holy as He is holy. We haven't talked about what it takes to become a Christian, but Jesus says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. If you need to obey the gospel for the first time, or you need to repent of some selfishness, or just need to get back into balance, we'd love to help you to do that this morning. Please make your needs known. Come while we stand and while we sing.